You're listening to
Hot Garbage.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hot Garbage Podcast, your weekly music playlist. My name is Drew. Joining me as always is the rocking chair to my footstool. My dear friend Andy.
Or your bench against the wall.
Yes, my low bench.
Yeah, people don't know this, but every week Drew gets the shitty seat. He ends up sitting on the bench against the wall.
My quads are blazing.
Yeah, it's truly leg day every week.
It's not a bad seat. It keeps me upright, keeps me attentive, you know. Our silent partner Nate is joining us as he does each and every week, making the sound happen, for which we are deeply grateful. Andy, how's everything been going?
Oh, man. So good.
I feel like I've been out of the rotation for a little while.
Yeah, we've had some time off. And we've had some weeks without Drew, so it's great to have you back, man.
I'm happy to be back. I'm glad that the entire Enterprise did not move on without me. Because, you know, I'd be a terrible fan of this show. I'm a much better host than I am a fan.
Yeah, you already don't listen to it.
No, I'm one of our downloads. Definitely one of our downloads. but if I don't hear my own voice, I get bored almost immediately. Deeply narcissistic. But I'm not so narcissistic that I don't appreciate each and every one of you listening to this episode. We really deeply appreciate you joining us. And if you like what you hear, please pass the show along. It really does help us to grow our audience and make a bigger footprint here in the digital world, and we'd really appreciate it. We could also use your vote of confidence via online platforms such as iTunes. So when you're subscribing to the show, which comes out every Thursday, go ahead and leave us 5 stars and let us know what you think of the show. It does, in a very small way, help people out there to discover us and help to grow
this
community.
Way. It's huge.
It's gigantic.
And plus, I read that shit.
Yeah, Andy reads it and takes it all deeply to heart.
I do.
So be gentle with your constructive criticism.
Mm-hmm. Please do.
This week, you'll probably have plenty to chat about out there in digital platforms because our guest was the band Tall Women. They were joining us, and it was such an amazing conversation with this group of people. The whole band was here. They've only been playing music together for about a year at this point. They've already got 2 EPs out. They play all the time here in the Portland area. They're working on a tour. They're working on a new album. So they've got a lot going on creatively, but they are also just really interesting people with a lot of thoughts about how the music scene is evolving here in Portland, what their place in it is.
And one of my favorite bands I've seen play in the last 6 months.
A great live show to see.
Go see them live. They play a lot.
They play
with a lot of different bands.
You can find out what they're up to on their Facebook page. That's the most up-to-date and easiest way to find out what Tall Women's up to, and it's totally worth your time to check out their music and check them out live. I think you'll agree with us after you listen to our conversation with Tall Women on this week's episode of Hot Garbage.
What was the question?
Just tell us a little about it. I mean, first we'll agree on the name. I think that's a good starting point.
Yeah, we'll start there.
You put this record out. It's an EP that came out November of 2016. Is that right?
I feel like it was earlier than that.
Was it earlier? And you guys recorded this yourselves?
Yeah. Right.
In our basement.
Sounds fantastic. It's
we recorded here. Oh yeah, and we must have been living in that house. Yeah, and we moved there in November, huh?
No, we moved there. Well,
you guys moved in September. I moved there in November.
You want to hear a funny story?
And we
story?
Recorded it as soon as I moved in there.
I do.
Would love to hear
this
a funny
is the perfect
story.
Place
that
for
makes,
funny
yeah.
stories.
Oh, here we go.
We're all just, we all decided to live together because we all split up with our respective girlfriends.
Yeah, we all we all broke up with our long-term people that we were with within a month of each other.
Oh, nice.
So we just moved into a band house together.
The Lonely Hearts
sure
Hotel.
That was funny.
that is
funny.
It's mostly sad.
Emotional fragility is hilarious.
That is actually kind of the real story behind the EP. We all broke up with our people and moved in together and recorded an EP the same month.
Now, I imagine, if it was me in that situation, I would just get deep into the music, really heavily. Were you guys
that's kind of actually
pretty purely focused?
Yeah, we got deep into drinking, but we did make an EP somewhere around there.
I guess all of that is probably true, but I definitely think that, David and I broke up with our respective partners, very, very close to each other and drank a lot, but also, definitely, took refuge in music, constantly.
We just didn't have anything else to do, but, yeah.
I play with some other groups too, so I was already doing some stuff, and for me it was also kind of a solace. I'm like, well, now I can be never not on stage, and
right, you never have to confront your demons.
I can just be 4 days a week performing, and just like, that's all, you know.
I always like to joke that it's cheaper than therapy. I can get up on a stage, yeah. And, like, a lot of times,
well, you make money.
Yeah, I know, and like a lot of times,
sometimes
at drinking some is point not cheaper. In life, I decided it would be fun to like play without it's a shirt on, just playing like band. A bra, and like. To get up there in my bra and just like scream, be like, my dad definitely doesn't approve of this, but also like, here are all the things that I'm mad about. And I was like telling Brendan this in the car on the way here, that like, it's cool to like be in this band where like I can do that, I can write songs about things I want to yell about, and then people will actually like pay to come listen to me do it and like listen to us play it, and that's awesome.
Right, yeah. And so, everyone has to share in your, not has to, but gets to share in your,
yeah,
therapy.
Totally.
And there's a connective element to that, yeah, too, because you know, you're being genuinely honest with someone, a stranger,
an artist,
which we get so few opportunities to do, I,
yeah,
think.
And I think that like an artist that I saw once in Boston a couple years ago like really hit home when she said that like, she has this one song where she just kind of like screams this one part, but she's like for the most part like a pretty cool like folk artist kind of thing. But that like she lived in like New York City at the time, and that like living in like a box apartment, you just don't really get the chance to be loud or like scream.
Yeah.
And so like whenever we play shows, I like to bring that up. It's like, hey, like if you need a place to just like let it out, let this be it. Just fucking let it out.
Well, I do want to listen to some music, but I want to pick at this for a real
yeah,
quick
totally.
Second, since we're all in this sort of emotional state when you're making this these songs.
So vulnerable.
I mean, is there a consciousness when you're writing them that you're bringing something personal and you know, emotional to the process, or is it genuinely an escape from those things?
I think that when we go to write songs, it kind of ends up just being a little bit ad lib, and then we kind of find some sort of meaning somewhere. I tend to write off of it.
Also, what else happened this November?
Yeah, oh. It was a tough month.
So
for us
the
all.
Thing is That's that, yeah, you know, the world ended in so many different ways for all of us right at the same time.
I didn't even think about that.
And
yeah.
I feel
more depressed.
But no, but I mean, when we were making that record, we were thinking about that, you know. When we put songs like A Lie on the record and stuff, it was like we were thinking about the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
Like we had our own emotional turmoil and stuff going on, but we also like were like watching the world end.
It was around the time too that we like shortly after that we re-recorded Afuera because David didn't want to sing on it anymore, and I changed the lyrics to be more about like what it felt like to be just like, I think the song in itself is just about like people outside being angry, and I immediately just think of like riots, and so the whole verse kind of, not maybe not the whole verse, but like a lot of the verse changed to be about like voices and violence and like protests and all of this stuff, because it's like we were all pretty obviously pissed.
I don't think we were afraid to put our emotions through the lyrics. I think for Cassie and I, we wanted to express our emotions very much so, and I think that included the political stuff. Mm-hmm. And so to me, there is like almost no from a personal level, there is no separation between our personal relationships and the political, because that didn't just
they all affect each
anymore.
Other, you know?
Yeah, they all affect each other, and it just comes out naturally. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know if people say we're a political band or not, or if we're like touchy-feely or whatever, or more emo. I don't give a shit. I think this is just what we are, just human, just expressing.
I've seen us categorized political, and I was surprised, because I feel like there's songs that definitely have, you know, a message or are like commenting on things, but like a lot of the songs are about personal things too, but it's personal politics, you know. I mean, even a lot of love songs really are political. They're just talking about personal politics as opposed to like, you know, global politics or whatever, but it's all politics when it comes down to it. It's all about how you and other people relate to each other and how you like respond to that.
I definitely agree with that. I think that's a good way to put it, because I feel like one thing that's happened since November, I mean, I've obviously become more interested in following things in a way that I never had before, but you kind of see the way in which the implications of that can just affect your personal life on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
the way
and how
you
interact with
it
people
is personal.
Yeah,
so I
mean,
I would imagine the way you reflect
your personal life,
yeah,
like how you react to the people that you see every day, is affected by like the pressures that are being put on you, like economically and politically.
Well, it'd be
yeah.
crazy
and
too.
Do
you
guys think that? All right. The sandwich world, right. The food world has been getting better and better and better and better to try and make people. It just makes me not care about politics at all anymore.
You think the food world has
compensated
for the tragedy of American politics?
Yeah.
But what about like?
There's people that are more concerned about the new double-sided gordita.
Aren't we running out? Aren't we reaching like places where we're gonna run out of food for everybody and stuff? Yeah.
Climate changes.
Yeah, aren't we?
It's true.
Andy, I don't know. I don't know if this is a problem that Taco Bell can solve.
Are we racing towards that?
I don't know, man.
That eventuality.
I personally feel like there's no problem Taco Bell can't solve, except for my lactose intolerance. That never tends to go down well. But other than
that, might be cardboard intolerance if it's Taco Bell.
It might be cardboard intolerance, but other than that, I haven't had any issues eating paper.
Hey, come talk about my Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Well, let's check out the song. I want to hear how this kind of plays out musically. And the name of the song is Afuera?
Afuera.
Assuming so.
Which means outside in Spanish.
Fantastic. Let's check it out. Okay, so Andy, you've got a list of drug combination names, and we really have to determine collectively whether they're real drug combinations or fake drug combinations.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be almost impossible to tell the difference because both of them, you know,
equally ridiculous.
Yeah, they all sound equally plausible and implausible.
Yeah, absolutely.
But let's check it out. Let's try this. What's the first combination?
Hugs and kisses.
Hugs and kisses.
It's real.
Immediately. Yeah, very real. No, it's I'm gonna go with fake just to be devil's advocate.
I'm gonna go with David and say it's real.
I think it's real.
It is real. It's meth and ecstasy.
Damn.
Hugs and kisses. Meth and ecstasy.
Mm-hmm. Which one is?
And Tall Women nails it with the intro.
Collectively.
I feel like meth is the
Does meth
kisses.
Kiss you?
Yeah, it's the kisses. Because ecstasy is definitely the hugs.
Yeah.
It's definitely,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely the hugs.
It was like the hugs, but like, how is meth kisses?
It's by default, really. Yeah.
That sounds
hey,
like.
Hey, hold your microphone closer.
It sounds like it should be like hugs and like shredded skin.
Hugs and
yeah, dogs. Exactly. Hugs and pockmarks.
Yeah.
Yeah, hugs and pockmarks.
Cat scratches.
Okay, what's the second one, Andy?
Misty flipping.
Misty flipping.
It's fake.
That
it's ecstasy
fake.
And something. I'm going to go real.
I'll go with fake.
That's a snowboard trick.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Oh, shit. I was right.
Women.
I'm losing all my cred as a heavy drug user.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about it regardless. I'm like, all right, wrong. No.
I don't want to know immediately all the answers. Okay, what's the third one, Andy?
Octane.
Octane.
Real.
It's real. And the.
That sounds real.
What are the people that follow that one band?
800 Octane?
Power Man 500?
No.
They 5, used to 000. Be a Portland band 5, called 800 Octane.
Power Man 500.
Yeah, I just feel like cover band. The yeah. Tribute band.
It's a clowns. Insane Clown Posse. I feel like they do that.
They do Octane?
Yeah.
No, 800 Octane drink. Was like a punk band. They were legit.
What is it? I'm going to go real.
It is real. It's PCP and gasoline.
See, I told you.
Oh, yeah. People do gasoline for
yeah.
fun.
Yeah.
Do you do gasoline?
That's a thing.
You
I don't know because you smoke PCP.
Do you huff a bowl of gasoline while you're on PCP?
Yeah.
Or maybe yeah. they just smoke them both.
God, get a hobby.
I think they feel like they're getting one.
Start a band.
Get yeah.
If you want to waste your money and time.
Call it the Octanes. Andy, we got time for two more. Let's do
right.
two more.
Speedboat.
Octane 5000.
Speedboat. That's real.
I'm
it sounds like it could be real.
It also sounds very fake. Sorry. I'm the one doing the game here, but I got to say.
I was going to say fake.
It's real. It's meth, PCP, heroin, and crack on some weed.
Because that needed a name.
The cornucopia.
The speedboat.
Well, I mean, you know, when that's your normal weekend, you got to name it something.
I would call that the gateway.
I just call that my
since
Saturday
it's the
night.
Full yeah. spectrum.
Oh, sorry. I didn't finish that.
No, that's just what you do when you're driving a speedboat.
I didn't finish that. Weed and PCP and crack.
So, you didn't finish
it's pretty much everything.
So it's fake. You
can plus get. More.
So it's yeah,
plus everything
fake.
Repeated.
Mm-hmm. It's like everything was put it, together. Was, mm-hmm. Are you on acid too on that one?
No, not on
optional.
That one.
Acid optional.
All right, point? Andy. What's one last one that we'll fail miserably
speedboat
at?
Speedboat on a cloud.
Spoke.
Man, it's pretty good, but I'm gonna go fake.
I think fake.
Is that a conscious rapper?
Yeah.
Mixed with PCP.
A conscious rap mixed with PCP.
I
you
don't
listen
know.
To Common and take PCP.
Dude, let's get spoke.
Yeah. Anybody got B handy? I would rather like to get spoke.
Yeah. That is real.
Sick.
Oh, really?
What
oh,
is
sorry,
it?
Sorry, you didn't get yours in?
I was going to say fake.
There's conscious rappers yeah. out there. They're real. Yeah.
That's real. That's when you crush up speed, ecstasy, and coke and snort it. It's a spoke.
A spoke. Well, I think that was a successful game in any number
you
of
spoke,
ways.
Bro.
It was educational. We had a little
you
bit
spoke?
Of fun. But
I don't know
bro.
If anybody really won.
You spoke?
I think we learned something.
I think we got to play some music
I think
now.
Tall Women won.
Andy, what do you got up your sleeve? I know you've been sitting on
probably
Andy 30
last
songs.
Week.
I got so much, but...
What are you going to play
I
for
cannot,
us?
I cannot go another week without playing a song off the new Bobby Peru album.
Fair enough.
It's so good.
I don't holy know anything shit. About Bobby Peru.
Bobby Peru is a Portland... No hard rock band, heavy rock band. They kind of have like a kind of like a hardcore sound to them. They're really good. We played some stuff off their album Two Live Peru back in the day.
Oh.
And I love that they took their name from that fucking crazy
country Peru.
No, it's a character from Wild at Heart. It's what the fuck is that dude's name?
Wild at Heart.
Yeah, have you ever seen that movie?
I don't know. Who's in it?
Nicolas Cage. It's a fucking Coen Brothers movie.
Wild at Heart?
Is that what it's called?
I think you're thinking of Raising Arizona.
No. Now I got to look it up.
It's not Con Air.
Yeah. Willem Dafoe. It's Willem Dafoe's character in that movie. And his name is Bobby Peru. It's fucking awesome.
Well, let's hear some of the music. And we will revisit this Coen Brothers.
They just put out a new album called End of the Night. And I'm going to play you the song called Too Lazy to Live.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. That was the only one I ever listened to. Yeah.
I love that song.
And Will Always Be My Baby?
Like, yeah, You'll Always Be My whatever. Baby.
No, so when I said like what my first obsessions were was like Tool and like Nirvana and Offspring and shit, but like the first CDs I bought were like Mariah Carey and Alanis Morissette.
Yeah.
And like I just didn't like them.
Dude, Alanis Morissette.
Like I didn't like the owl. Like I couldn't.
Oh, you didn't like Jagged Little Pill?
No, I'm
It's because Tool fucked you up, man. You know, like you missed a whole era where you could have really enjoyed some music.
I just felt like the owl I couldn't get through the album.
On the floor?
I couldn't get through the whole album.
No. Yeah, that's true.
There were songs I liked, but I didn't like the whole album and I didn't get that into it. But actually Oasis and also like Tool and Nirvana and Jane's Addiction, all those bands, those were the bands where I got their CDs and Weezer.
Yeah, the Blue album. Way into Weezer.
Like that was like definitely. When I listened to a whole album all the way through. That was the first obsession that I had. You know, like I had these other CDs, but
what's the last album you think you've listened to the whole thing through that worked for you?
I love listening to albums all the way through because I think it might just be because of my workplace and we like queue up whole albums all like at the same time and just plays all the way through.
Oh, nice!
And I really enjoy it now. Like I realize that like growing up, I'd go on like LimeWire and like download my favorite songs from different albums and things, but like getting to listen to like a full album like really kind of like tells a story. And like it's heard in the way that it's meant to be heard, as opposed to just like picking out like singles that like you think are catchy and fun. Like
I love that too.
Yeah, there's definitely like an artistry to making an album, and like even writing them too, like or set lists or anything like that. Like the way you organize it,
and you can really tell when that doesn't go into an album too. Right away.
Or like when you have like rando filler songs, like this doesn't fit here at all.
Like this new Nicki Minaj album is all bangers, but they're all singles. Like none of this flows.
Nicki Minaj.
There's no story.
That's gospel.
Well, and that's what I felt when I like bought those early Mariah Carey and Alanis Morissette records. I felt like some songs were singles, some songs were filler, but it wasn't like an album experience or anything. And like it was kind of honestly Oasis, but then like pretty immediately after that, like Offspring and Green Day and these other bands, where it's like every song on the album I liked and the album flowed as like a unit. Although especially like Jane's Addiction and Tool, like bands that really like made like had a story kind of unfold.
How do you guys feel about Damn?
So that's the one I listened
that
to.
Damn,
Kendrick album?
Kendrick Lamar.
That's definitely like a concept album. It plays through.
I haven't listened to all of it yet.
There's two, actually, that I listen to constantly. There's one by Drake, and I can't... it's in my CD case. Anyway, and Kendrick Lamar, Damn. And that's the ones I constantly listen to the whole way. That's the last ones.
To come back to albums that I was influenced by once.
Yeah.
Also, sorry.
Yeah, never let you finish.
The first song I ever learned on guitar was Los Lonely Boys.
Really?
It's called Heaven.
How far
exactly.
is heaven?
Exactly. And I love that people surround the song. It's so good.
Yeah.
And then I think I kind of like my introduction to guitar and like whatever kind of music I'm making now is I listen to a lot of Pablo Honey, that radio.
Oh, the albums I listened to OK Computer yesterday and In Rainbows today.
Yeah, I've been listening. I've been going through the whole Radiohead like discography now because I like my girlfriend just recently was like, "Have you heard In Rainbows?" I was like, "No."
Oh, that is my favorite Radiohead album.
And they did like "Pay What You Want." I remember that whole thing.
It was yeah, they put it out themselves. I think.
Yeah,
but it
that
was
a great,
yeah,
that
really
was pretty
good
cool
album. So good. Now I'm like revisiting all of the Radiohead albums, but the only one I'd ever really heard before that was Pablo Honey.
That might be my favorite one. In yeah. Rainbows. And
that kind of like, Ben's was my first like my first radio album that I loved. I loved the song "Just" that was played on the radio in Indianapolis where I grew up.
I've heard some really cool takes on "Just," like "Streetlight Manifesto." Festo does it, I think.
Oh, shit, I'd like to hear that.
They've got a version of Just.
That's still one of my favorite songs.
This, like, producer guy. Oh, shit, what's his name? He, like, works with all these famous people. He works with Nicki Minaj and shit like that. But he did a version of, like, Ron something. Or
Ron Belvedere.
I don't know. But he did a version of Just that's,
you
like,
had me
funk.
Convinced.
And,
Ron
like, kind of
Smith.
Like a kind of, like, a funk swing version of it. That's
Mark Ronson.
Really, yes, Mark Ronson.
It's Mark
you know.
Ronson, yeah.
Okay, so I was right about Ron being
there. Yeah, there's a Ron in there. Yeah.
But it's really good, right? You know the one I'm talking about? It's
I
like
haven't heard it, but I believe it. He
and
does
it's got the
a lot
fucking Mars Volta guy, or not yeah. Mars Volta, sorry. Yeah, I'm saying fucking in a bad way.
That's fucking Mars
what's
Volta
What's
that
guy? Horrible band
Fuck.
Called? Maroon 5.
Oh, yeah.
It's Adam got Levine. The guy, it's got Adam Levine singing it, but it's actually really good.
He sings Just?
He sings Just,
oh, man.
And it's like a funk, like version, like this funk rock version of
with
Just.
With a little bit of dubstep, not a lot.
No,
there's
one
breakdown.
No dubs. There's
tasteful.
No dubstep, but there's horns and stuff.
Tasteful.
It's like really cool. It's really good.
A few wow.
Well, I would love to hear that.
Adam Levine on it, but it's actually really good.
But that's so you were really into Pablo Honey. I feel like that is
yeah.
Well,
I think that was like my introduction. Album. I didn't get into Nirvana until like. I know that I'd, like, heard about them, and I'd, like, obviously heard their songs and stuff, and then, like, at one point in high school, like, my mom went to rehab for a second, and I was like, I should listen to Nirvana. And I, like,
it's time, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, it's time. So I, like, pirated their whole discography and then listened
How old
to
were
it.
You?
Yeah, I was probably, like, 14 or 15. Okay. And, I was like, wait, this is awesome. Sure. And I didn't get, like, all of the songs, but I got, like, some of, like, the Bleach ones and, like, the Nevermind and, like, I remember...
Was this LimeWire?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Well, yeah. In the LimeWire days.
Because I didn't realize you could torrent whole albums. I just like went through and just like clicked a bunch. I was like, I don't have that one. I don't have that one. And like, this is my public internet confession of stealing music. But like,
the statute of limitations has passed.
Excellent.
I use Napster, so I'm.
There you go.
Kurt Cobain like, can't sue you.
Vintage.
Yeah.
But like, yeah. So I think Nirvana like absolutely has inspired me a lot. But I think more than I realized, my dad and I kind of went through funny, like, different music taste seasons, essentially, where, like, he would pick me up and drive me to school every day. And sometimes we'd listen to country, and then we'd listen to that for a few months, and then it would turn into, like, weird alt rock, and then we'd turn into, like, grunge and, like, other kind of things. And so I think that, like, a lot of my musical influence actually just came from what my dad used to listen to just on the way to school.
It's pretty cool that you can share legitimately good music with
yeah,
one of your
my
parents.
Dad has the best music taste out of anybody I know. Huh. Like 100%. And it still affects me to this day where he showed me like the Black Keys, he like showed me AWOL Nation once when they were like a thing.
Really?
Like, oh yeah, check out this.
So
band.
He's got his finger on the pulse. He's,
yeah,
he's sticking with it.
He's doing the thing. I really appreciate it. So
my dad likes romantic Mexican music. Hi Dad.
You can't leave me alone. 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 Won't get better, can you? Where did you go? Wondering what you're up to.
brother used to just play Sublime all the time, and his whole back is tattooed.
I know, I'm not.
Logo.
I know that, like.
So I've heard a lot of Sublime.
Nice. People hate Sublime. People
I was gonna say in Portland. I was about to say in Portland, Sublime's a mixed bag, but I am born and raised in Portland, and there's a contingent of us that really like Sublime, and I do really like Sublime.
That's awesome.
They were great musicians.
Well, Sublime is an interesting segue because we were talking about Nirvana earlier, and obviously that was a touchstone for so many people, but you three in particular. And
that's something that we definitely all have in common, is Nirvana.
And obviously, you know, their influence is clear, but they made, you know, 3.5 albums worth of original music in their entire career, and then they stopped. So I've always thought of their kind of legacy is sort of etched in stone. They didn't ever get to the point where they were becoming dad rock or anything like that. They never had to evolve past being this really novel thing. And Sublime
like the
was sort
Red
of
Hot
the same.
Peppers.
I mean, that got cut down, and they are what they are. And so this
I think
kind
they're
of
similarly influential, you know, in terms of like their reach 25 years later.
Do you think it's possible for a band like a Nirvana or even like a Sublime to
or a
exist?
Chili Pepper.
Well, I think Chili Pepper is a good example of the counter of what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
not that they were ever
they
really
definitely
that good,
turned dad rock.
But they've become even shittier than like Behind the Sun. But is it possible
to
stay?
That was a whole conversation I had the other day.
About Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Is it possible to what?
Is it possible to stay fresh, to stay a band like Nirvana and continue your musical career for 15, 20 years?
So you're saying, is it better to burn out than to fade away?
I guess that's...
He's saying that, exactly.
I'm not even really saying that, because I think it's obviously just from a cultural standpoint, it's better to burn out.
Man, it's absolutely better to burn out. Look at the 27 Club. Look at those artists
who
are etched in stone as
the
gods of rock and roll. Just because they never had a chance to put out
shitty
music. Don't
give her ideas.
That's true.
But what I mean is...
But they also those artists
years, that's enough time.
Were so fucking prolific in their time that they were producing music.
That's
they put out
years,
a lot of shit. So
this kid should stick around.
If you don't have the chops to put out, you know, 4 albums worth of music, don't do that. Don't do the 27.
But what if Nirvana became like Weezer, where they put out 2 like transcendently great records and then a bunch of trash?
I feel like to
for
me,
like
they didn't have
18
a lot,
years.
They didn't give themselves a lot of time to put out something super poppy other than Nevermind. And like Nevermind was like every single song on that album, I'm like, I could listen to this in any mood that I ever wanted. Like this just kind of like there's
it's
something
really
about that that's
great.
Very different than any of the other albums.
Well, at that point that where shit went bad, they were being handled perfect. So hard by record executives
oh,
and
absolutely.
Pushed in so many
but
directions.
Well, he was
whatever
really
they would have
sick.
Put out next would have probably been real rough.
He was just really sick.
He was too.
Felt
yeah.
like shit.
In a lot of ways, though, like
I can relate
between
to that.
Bleach and also like In Utero, which is one of my favorite albums of all time, like they were all songs that I could still hear and like picture seeing it in the basement.
Yeah.
And like to me, that like that makes music feel attainable. Is like, what music would I see in a basement and believe it?
How do you feel about the Foo Fighters?
I love the Foo Fighters.
Okay,
so listen. Okay. So I love the Foo Fighters because that was one of the like the bands that like I got into in my dad's car on like the way to like school and things like that. So like Echo Silence, Patience and Grace is probably like the last Foo Fighters album I'd really listened to. Mm. Other than that,
I don't know
their
that
first
one.
Album, which their first album was so
that.
Fucking good.
Like, yeah, their first album's my favorite.
I never felt it.
He
I
played
never,
all the albums. Really? Like, I love their first and second album.
He
but
was
I don't,
writing those songs during Nirvana time.
He was playing,
cool, like,
he played
Marigold.
All the instruments.
Yeah.
The thing is, when he plays drums, stuff sounds good. Like, the best Queens of the Stone Age album has Dave Grohl playing drums.
That's true.
That's true.
I honestly, true. I sometimes like will jokingly
no,
call
so.
It Dave Grohl syndrome when people that I think should be playing drums are playing guitar.
I'm a David and I play drums.
I think he's got good
But you also
taste,
play guitar.
So
you're exactly like Dave Grohl.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just going to end up like him.
I think he's got
I jokingly like I'll be
like
Dave Grohl
I
syndrome.
I really enjoy the things he's put out, but also like I feel
it was
like
just such a hard left for me from Nirvana to that.
Absolutely. 100%.
I was just like,
I really
man.
Liked that first
totally
record, especially.
Like a cool, like, pop rock kind
the self-titled
of
Foo
it's like all of a sudden
though.
It's on the radio. This is exactly what Kurt didn't want, and I do not like it. And I was,
I don't know,
I was
but
like,
he, no,
I got
don't
more
think
into
so.
Punk rock. I followed the shit that Kurt Cobain was into and went born to that. And
oh,
was like,
yeah.
Foo Fighters
yeah.
or
totally.
That's radio music. I'm over it.
Yeah, when he, like,
maybe I should give another chance and check it out now.
So I think
their
that
first album is really good, though.
It's really
and it's
good.
Pretty punk rock, too. It's not that poppy.
It's an album I can listen to start to finish. And
that song, Monkey
really
Wrench,
enjoy.
Hit the radio pretty hard.
That's
right?
the second,
second
album.
And also, like,
okay,
Guitar
yeah.
Hero.
You gotta,
like,
the thing is, their first hero. Album is not that radio-y. He literally recorded, like, Dave Grohl literally recorded the whole thing in his living room by himself. And then had a couple
yeah.
friends play guitar
like,
solos
oh, no
on
shit.
It.
Okay. Well,
like, I stick around,
it's,
just
it's
listen to the
sweet.
Recording quality of that. Like, just the drums, the dicka dicka
like,
dicka dicka. It's like really.
It's a pretty cool album.
It's loose.
And it's very much like just him, like. And this is fresh from Nirvana and fresh from playing with Fear and stuff. He was in Fear, right? No.
What was the band he was in? Fear.
No. What was they called? He was in a band.
Fear. I don't know.
No, Fear is a punk band.
Yeah, he was in a punk band before Nirvana, but it wasn't Fear. It was something like that.
I wanted to go back to your question about Burnout or Fade Away kind of thing. The thing is about the difference between... Whatever. I'm going to try to compare two different styles of music between hip-hop and rock is that in rock, you have to sustain your band. You have to sustain your brand that is your band. And that's a lot of people. It's like at least two or three people.
Hmm.
And so when you have that magical moment together, you make these one or two, three albums that are fucking awesome. And then you realize that that's what you're depending on, is on these people that you have. Unless you can reinvent with other people, you know, unless you're the only one writing the songs.
So let's say you, and I just want to follow up on this. Mm-hmm. In your scenario, you make these two or three great albums as a band, and then you start to kind of be aware of these dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
Do the great albums come because you're like, in those moments, you're totally aligned and you're really operating as one organ, and then you start to kind of fray as time goes on? Or how does the dynamic change from allowing you to make these really great fresh records versus the stuff that you kind of settle into?
It's almost like, I feel like kind of like a relationship where you're like, at first you're like having this romantic stage.
Yeah.
And you're just like, the chemistry is so there.
Just fucking everywhere.
Exactly. And then all of a sudden you just become codependent on each other and you're financially tied.
Yeah.
And you start to realize that I can't survive without them. And it's unhealthy at this point because you're not keeping that spark alive, and however it comes about. Whereas, like, I find this difference, like, and so this is just the rock and roll world. These bands just burn out super quick, and with hip hop, it's like, it's just one person. You got one rapper. You just got to take care of yourself. Now you can either burn out as well or fade away, or you can reinvent yourself. And there's just been more instances, I feel, about hip hop artists that reinvent themselves time and time again. We look at Dr. Dre, like Kanye West too. Mean, even through all the shit that, you know, people talk about him, he's like, he's been able to reinvent himself still. Jay-Z, holy fucking shit. Yeah. Beyonce, it's just like they only have to take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. That's like just with bands, it involves more people, and that brand is not.
It's like
just
a relationship
that.
Too.
Yeah, there's a lot more input,
and it can be just as volatile as a relationship. But you have like multiple people involved. Because the thing is, what you're doing together is like something that you're all passionate about, and it is like, you know, when you all get it together and you all hit that moment and you're all like creating that thing, then it feels really great.
Yeah.
And you're like all getting somewhere together.
You're fucking.
And so it's like really, I mean, spiritually, it's like that kind of thing.
It's
but
that
it's,
deep.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at the same time, you got all these personalities to deal with, and you have to deal with artists because everybody's an artist. So
well,
everybody's
you guys,
all fucked up somehow too.
You guys have the triangle too, so there can always be a quorum. There can always be a two versus one and some shifting alliances when things get a little bit messy.
Yeah, right now it's just Brandon and Cassie versus me.
Yeah, it's a real like
well, you're the
ninja
drummer.
Cowboy bear situation.
So. Yeah. And yeah, it's they're always going to, hey, we need another drummer, right?
I don't think that we ever...
Guy from Toy was good.
Yeah, we're never like we need another drummer.
Is there?
We know that nobody's gonna play like David.
Can I play you guys some music? You guys want to hear some?
I think it's time. I think it's time,
yeah,
Andy. What do you got?
Cool.
Come in, Coach.
All right.
Only if it's cool.
Sheer Mag just put out their full length album.
Sick.
Have you guys heard this?
I've heard of them.
I have not heard this album.
It's as good as I'd hoped.
Sweet.
This is one of those times where you're waiting for a band to put out their like full length, and it really delivers.
That's awesome.
The album's called Need to Feel Your Love, and it's solid. I definitely recommend picking it up. They won't be back in Portland until September, but they'll be back, so go check them out when they come to town.
That's awesome.
Yeah, cool. It's not that far out.
It'll be here before you know it.
Well, this song is my favorite song off the album. It's called Suffer Me, and there's a great video for it, so check that out, too. And you can check this shit out on Bandcamp. We'll be right back.
guys view yourselves in like the scene? Are you is that how conscious are you of where you align in terms of your sound or how you position yourselves kind of professionally and how you do kind of the dirty work of getting known? Do you guys think about that very often? Is that a conscious part of any plan?
It's actually something we talk about a lot, and that's something that's been brought up to us as well. The fact that just like I'm not sure we really know how to fit into the scene that we're involved in. And just like David's touched on it too, that like I think that we just kind of bridge this weird gap between like maybe punk and also hardcore. Like we like kind of grew up listening to like metal, hardcore, like all this kind of music, and I think that it really like finds itself in the music that we write. But all the stuff that we like, all the bands that we tend to play with tend to be like more like garage rock or like just something that doesn't really like, we end up being a lot like a little bit, I guess, like heavier and aggressive, and maybe it's like a little bit off-putting to the people that don't expect it. But there's also those people that come out to us afterwards and they're like, whoa, like that was really awesome. So like there's people out there that like enjoy it, but like I think finding that scene has been a lot more complicated and hard than we've actually anticipated.
Well, that was why we saw you guys play with Hair Puller, mm-hmm. and Zyle.
Yeah,
and that was a great bill. And Hair Puller are friends.
Really cool.
I think that was a pretty good balance. Yeah, that like
yeah,
the,
they have the same problem too. They're kind of in that same hardcore kind of punk kind of metal.
Mm.
And yeah, very similar in sound.
Like cool. It's a cool sound. It's just like I guess being in that situation, it's like interesting to navigate.
To whom is that the most important, though? Is it important to the people you want to play to? Is it important to someone who's booking a show? Like, for me, I think that when you, as a listener of music, if you show up to see one band and you see like three different kinds of bands, it's a much richer experience.
Definitely.
And you still get that one band that you came to see, so you're going to be satisfied. I think, and I don't feel like that happens often enough. Do you think that's a function of the audiences, or is that the bookers? Who's driving that part of it?
I think in a lot of ways we've like, I mean, in the past year that we've been a band, we've just tried to play as many shows as possible. Like anytime somebody asks us, we're like, yeah, sure, let's do it. And like we've probably booked maybe like 75 to 80 shows now, and we haven't really had to ask anybody.
Wow.
Like people just ask us, which is like weird and awesome and really cool. But like we end up getting stuck on bills where like there's not a lot of people that sound like us. And I think that like, which is also fine. Like we obviously like appeal to some people that we don't really like expect to. But at the same time, I feel like being more strategic about it now too, and realizing like just how much energy and effort we put into playing our shows, whether it's performing or like schlepping all of our gear there. Like all of those things like really mean a lot more when you can see like a positive outcome come out of it. And it like, I think, now just like taking the guesswork out of being like, oh, we could play this show and maybe get like one or two more fans, or we could like play this show where like people kind of come to hear this music and then we still offer them something different and unique and it could still be like cool and we could appeal to a lot more people that way.
Are you getting to the point now where you're saying no to shows?
Yes.
Yeah, because there's too many.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. I mean, I feel
like that's a great problem to have.
Yeah, it's right? Like, I mean, I feel so very fortunate with this group. It's like, since I joined the band, which would have been like August last year, so almost a year ago, we haven't had to book shows ever. We've never had to go out and look for shows. People just always offer them to us. And so it's like at this point now we have to sort through like, well, what's worth doing? And I mean, that is,
sometimes we don't even know what we have.
Where we're like, we don't know why we're on this bill, but somebody recommended us or somebody seems to have liked us or something. But like, we're every couple days we get a message from somebody, hey, you know, we're putting together a show and we want you guys on it. And so when we're trying to sort out, well, what makes sense, you know, strategically, like what's going to bring us forward.
We also just versus, like playing shows and we always want to
yeah,
say yes.
So it's like that. There's that conflict too. So we want to play all the time. We always want to say yes to everything because we
want
to play 5 days a week. I mean,
we want
playing music's the best. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We want tinnitus. We're well on our way.
So what is then, as you're beginning to get more strategic about what you do and what you don't do, what with what goal in mind? So if you're weighing one show versus another, what is the outcome that you're hoping to achieve by choosing one over the other?
I think we're just more particular about sound.
Yeah. Maybe it's a numbers thing. I don't know. Like, yeah. We just want people who we know are going to like us. And when we show up, they're like, yeah, there's this many, you know. We're trying not to over, you know, burn ourselves out here. Yeah. We're not trying to burn ourselves out. Cause
we don't want to completely oversaturate the market.
We just, I like playing drums in this band has been a very, very cool because it's like the only way I get to work out. And and two, you know, it's a lot of work too. So it's like, you know, I don't really want to play to just, you know, and then like get tired and then I got to go to work the next day. You know, I really want to know that the people are going to hear us really kind of want to hear us. But apparently we're getting a following too. So I don't know. It's like working all like playing shows. I love playing shows all the time, and it's hard to balance that, like to say no, you know, because it's so fun.
Yeah, exactly. We always.
I would love to do this all the time and just do this.
And a big part of like I feel like playing shows for us is like getting to meet people afterwards, and like I feel like we're all pretty fairly social creatures. Maybe me not so much lately, but like everybody's just out talking to people and like. Making friends and making those connections. And I feel like even though like we've played so many shows and like I kind of like to hilariously gauge our success based on Facebook likes. It's like seeing who like took the time to follow through and find our band on the internet because it's one word and like everybody just Googles tall women and they just see pictures of Nicole Kidman. But like, true story.
Because they put that space in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, right? So like, but like the people that like
you have to drink the champagne,
time
Drew.
To follow through and like find our band and like want to know when we're playing next and what we're doing and the champagne is out. Yes. Like what we're doing next and things like that. Like that means the most to me, like getting to just sit there and have that conversation with people and like get to know them. Like house shows are really fun for that reason. Like, I don't know. That's,
yeah.
I think that's where we really get a lot of maybe our like quote unquote following, but they're also like people that we know their names. And they like want to buy our CDs, and they like tell their friends about us, or like invite them to like our shows. Like that's a cool thing. I would rather do that than play like a room with like 100 people and have some like you know 20 people go onto our Facebook page and like us.
Yeah. Also, we've been around for just a little over a year, and I think you know we're just still figuring it out.
That's
I don't.
True.
And it's like you know there's bands out there that have been around for longer than us, and they're doing all this other stuff. It's like you know I'm. Let's be patient too. Like, let's see where this goes still because
I'm not very good at being patient.
But, you know, it's just that's kind of sort of my take on it. I want to make sure that we don't like
we
just how
tour.
We don't
I think
burn
we
ourselves out with playing. I don't want to burn ourselves out with like all these grand schemes of anything. Like, it just might burn ourselves out from playing too, you know? So
just be in the place that you are as a band and take it one step at a time.
Exactly.
But is being as big as possible a goal? Something that you guys have in mind?
I mean, if we could play this, if we could play all the time, that'd be fucking awesome.
I feel like being successful would be like a really cool thing, but like at the same time, I just don't want to lose touch too. Like,
if this could be my job, I would be stoked.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
Oh man, no! You should totally lose touch. You should totally go all the way. Yeah.
I think
well,
that with
drug list again. Let me.
I think that with Cassie's vocals and with David's drumming, like. We could, you know, this band could be pretty successful.
Yeah.
I think the
you
potential
could quickly
there.
Be too good for this podcast, which is what
I
we hope for.
I'm so stoked about this.
I don't think we do.
Nobody wants to listen to us talk for a whole
I think
fucking hour.
The real key is you need to switch it up and just be total assholes all the time to everyone you meet. And those kind of bands seem to do pretty well.
I'm anxious enough to look like an asshole all the time, I think.
Yeah, sometimes being a dick just is like masquerading insecurities.
Yeah,
or something
exactly.
Like that,
I'm already insecure as fuck.
Yo. We back. Drinking a little bit. It's funny. Niggas wish they could make songs like I do. But then they wouldn't be they self. And that's not cool. Hello, you stupid motherfuckers that been hating on me. Time is money, so I hope you got that LASIK on me. Surgery perfectly, come be the patient for me. I'm purchasing purple trees, got some papers on me, and I've been feeling it. I got a buzz building, I got some pills again, but I'm not drug dealing. Summertime sadness, so you know we gon' experiment. I think I'm done dabbing, I had a bad experience. Started out laughing, just passing, it was typical. Tripping like Smokey in the back of Debo Pigeon Coop. And I'm still smoking, yes, I know that shit is pitiful. When the FIFA serious is by earn a Liverpool. I learned to flip a few packs on a mission. Her sex good and her head make me go ballistic. Banging on me like she Tupac. I'm just listening. Come to bed, button up in tube socks. Risky business. I'm on 6 beers, 1 joint, and a cigarette. And I had 6 beers, 1 joint, and a cigarette. And I'm on 6 beers, 1 joint, and a cigarette. And I feel good. Yeah. Wah-wah, wow. Get a wrap, get a sack, hope to smell strong. Order a Paps on tap, no more L's, homes. And it's a well-known fact that I'm well-known. Back like I left my keys, wallet in my cell phone. Sitting in hell's own kitchen, eating hot Cheetos. Frito-Lays dipping jalapenos. And we know that he knows it's a settle that I stand for. So now it's me and the devil on the dance floor. So dance whore, till you feel your spinal tap. Hoes start to glance more when they see the sign of cash. Shooting up with the needle, that'll play the vinyl track. And then I bang the Beatles till the time is past. Damn, while I'm thinking of my future, I've been coping. Keeping options open, still choking while I'm smoking. Humble keeps me balanced, so I'm really trying to focus. And I haven't even spoken about these labels taking notice. I'm on 6 beers, 1 joint, and a cigarette. And I had 6 beers, 1 joint, and a cigarette. And I'm on 6 beers, 1 joint, and a cigarette. And I feel good.
I'm curious, we obviously have a lot of Portland artists on, and David, you've had a chance to work with Karma Rivera, who's been a former guest.
Just photographing her.
Photographing her. Well, she was on the show, and she was saying that one of the things that marked Portland hip-hop is it doesn't have one sound. It's a really diverse collection of rappers and MCs and DJs and all these kinds of things. From sort of the rock perspective, is there any thread that holds Portland rock music together that you guys have noticed?
I feel like...
Beer.
I feel like in a lot of ways garage rock tends to be like the kind of sound that like Portland bands aim for, and it's like it's a sound that I really like, but I think that I have a really hard time finding anything kind of unique. And like, I mean, like we also like frequent a lot of shows, a lot of shows, but like just like I sometimes struggle to find bands that I'm like, okay, well, like I want to go see this band play tonight, like, and so I don't know. There's like definitely some bands that have just been like really fucking cool to me, and I love to stay in touch with them because they like what they do really inspires me and things like that. But like other than that, it, sometimes
there's
it just
a solid dubstep scene in Portland people aren't talking about. That
there actually was back.
Tell
when
me about
Skrillex
that.
And stuff. Really? That actually was really
that's
true.
A real thing.
Portland was like one of the dubstep. There were like big dubstep labels here like 10 years ago.
That's interesting.
Then they moved to.
That's what I feel like. I feel like
that was like a big thing here. Like, and that was back when dubstep sounded like dub. I actually remember that this being a thing.
I feel like in broad strokes, Portland is kind of, Portland rock at least, is fairly vertically integrated. Like, we have friends that are in kind of the stoner metal scene.
Right.
And that is deep, but not wide, if that makes much sense. You know, I feel like the sound is fairly consistent there, and there's a lot of talent, and there's a lot of fun bands. But
it's very much, it's kind of self-contained. Sort of bubble.
Yeah, and these little pockets kind of, I don't know if they're subgenres or just kind of separate kinds of rock music seem to align pretty tightly here, at least from my perspective. But, you know, David and Brennan, you guys play in multiple bands, so you maybe have a foot in a couple of different worlds. Is it consistent? Is there consistency of like rock scene in Portland?
For me, I feel like Portland is, like the music scene right now in rock is more diverse than it's ever been before. like when, like coming up, I felt like it was really homogenous for a long time. Everybody sounded like the Decemberists or like the Shins or some like kind of not like something similar to like that
Which
indie
seems
rock
like a,
sound.
A crazy mm-hmm. bass line for a scene.
Well, I'm like, saying for like to me that like everything sounded like that for a long ass time, and like well, yeah, the man. Only shit that ever got covered by any like local press was like stuff that sounded kind of like a knockoff of the Shins, you know, or Menomina or something. And then like every band that came up kind of was imitating that too. And you go to PDX Pop now and all of the bands have this kind of like pop rock sound where no, where everybody's kind of like afraid to actually rock.
Oh yeah.
Like, to me,
definitely.
To me, I always saw indie rock as an oxymoron growing up in Portland. Cause to me that meant like rock that was afraid to rock. Like indie rock meant like you don't actually go balls to the wall and like hit it really hard. You just almost do. But then everything's like poppy and yeah. gentle and kind of like Mumford and Sons or whatever.
If you only learn to arpeggiate a guitar.
Yeah. And so like to me that was what I understood Portland as for like a long time.
Interesting.
Like living here. And I moved to LA for like 8 years to escape that. And now that I moved back, there's all this diverse stuff. There's suddenly this huge stoner rock genre like you guys are talking about that's got all this huge scene. And we've got all this garage rock going on. And we've got all these punk bands. We've got all these like trans-fronted like punk bands that are like...
Mm-hmm.
There's all this stuff going on that was not going on 5
and
or 10 years ago.
And the hip-hop scene, too.
And the hip-hop scene suddenly exists.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's before, so there was like Life Savers, and that was it.
Yeah, and Sand right? People.
And like
and,
what?
Like, Ilmac and like... You know.
Chicharrones, they're from here too, right?
Cool
like
Nuts.
We had like two bands.
Yeah.
We had like two hip hop groups for like a long ass time. But like now there's a scene. And now there's like a punk scene again. Like for when I was coming up, there was one all ages venue at a time. And then they like shut down. Like the Meow Meow had to bounce around to like three different locations, you know, like just to stay alive.
Yeah. We've talked about like that on the show. It's interesting.
You know, we had all this stuff. Like that was the stuff that was what I was doing in high school. I was playing in punk bands here, but like, it's a totally different thing. We do have diversity in the music scene now. And I think that's really cool.
This, I don't even know if you guys will be able to answer this, but it's something that I'm curious about too. We talked about a little bit of the politics side of what kind of inflects your music. And Brendan, I know that this is something we talk about diversity of sound. Is there a diversity of people of color, people of different gender identities? Is that becoming more a part of the Portland scene now?
In my experience, the people of different gender identities is much more representative
mm-hmm.
now than it was before. There's a lot more female-fronted groups, a lot more women that are playing in bands, and a lot more people that are transitioning and people of different identities. I'm seeing that way more in the scene, especially certain elements of like the punk scene, like the DIY kind of like the garage rock punk kind of like spillover thing that we've been part of that. You know, sometimes we feel like, well, we're the heavy band here. Yeah. We don't really sound like these guys necessarily. But, like, a lot of that scene, I've seen that a lot more represented and supported. And people just, like, that, like, it's like, kind of like Portland as a city and the punk scene here seems to be creating, like, kind of a large space to where that, to where people of different gender identities feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like people that are moving here are, like, finding that. From what I'm seeing, which is something that I feel is really positive about the Portland scene. But in terms of people of color, it's still like the whitest. It's
still just a whitewash.
It's just like the whitest major city in the country. And I mean, I'm half black and I still feel like segregated all the time in the scene.
So
and
for
the world,
it is very
here
white.
In Portland.
Yeah, it's. I've been here for about 5 to 6 years. I moved here because I went to PSU. And I've been wanting to start bands and bands and bands and whatever. And it's just mostly white people, right? And I really wanted to find more people of color who were doing stuff like what I wanted to do, rock and roll, garage,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, me too. That was always a struggle.
Yeah, and just recently I've been finding this, and I think it's through social media, Facebook, that you find more people coming out and from different cities or, and that's why I welcome this like influx of people from other cities because
I do think the music scene's benefiting.
Yeah.
Like, really? You know, okay. The traffic sucks, but I do think the music scene is better because there's a lot more people coming to shows and stuff too.
Yeah. And it's just like, I find more people of color coming to our shows and I find people that are like really into this music, but also that play this music or just are willing to want to be a part of the music scene, and I'm really excited about that. But it's still hard. It's still hard to find them, and I don't know where I am in this scene. Like we've been talking about how we're represented in the scene, or what part we are a part of the scene. But I do want to be sort of an influence to more people of color to come out and like play what we play or just play something. I would love to see that because I know that I love this music. You know, I love playing this music, and I think Portland needs it. I think like Brendan was saying, like there's a lot of diversity in terms of gender identity, but I want to see more people of color come out too. Mm-hmm. Like to these shows, like that'd be awesome.
Absolutely. And participating in the scene, and I want people to be moving here. The thing is, Portland is not a diverse city.
Yeah, and I that's why I'm in.
Although the surrounding areas are increasingly diverse, you know.
Yeah,
we really like Woodburn and Hillsboro, and a lot of surrounding areas of Portland are largely Spanish speaking.
And I came from Salem, and I'm like,
and a lot of these kids love punk rock and psychobilly and shit. Like, you know, we need to connect these things. We need to connect these pieces. Absolutely.
Yeah, when coming from Salem, I was like, come over here. I was like, damn, this is actually pretty white. Even in Salem. And I was like, because there's just a huge influx of Mexican-American, Chicano, like Latino people that came over here, what I mean over here by Salem, to work. And then I came over here to Portland. I was like, fuck. It was amazing to me because I thought Portland was generally accepting, and I don't know. I feel
it's a very racist city,
and I the history about it, history about Portland is, you know.
I mean, growing up here too. I mean,
well documented, and
it was weird.
Yeah. So
there's a reason I kept moving away.
So it's just I want to see, like I said, more people of color. I drank too much of this stuff.
When we spent all this time talking about the scene in terms of how music evolves, but is there something that collective of people can do to promote these kinds of ideas? Is there something beyond just the music that the community can help to influence?
I think,
or is it just a matter of demographics? I don't really know.
I think people, should be bringing their friends out to shows, but I think it could be cross-wise. You know, I mean, we've got like YGB and things going on that are promoting artists of color. And I mean, like artists like that could be linking up with artists that are doing like garage rock and shit. I mean, we're playing with garage rock bands. We don't play fucking garage rock.
Right.
Like, I mean, I think there could be more bridges built between some of those communities.
Yeah.
Because you'll see bands like The Thermals playing with Savila, that's like a cumbia band or whatever. Like, there's no reason that we couldn't get some of the like YGB artists playing with some of the bands that are doing like punk rock and shit.
And we're like, working on that actually.
And the thing is that there's great musicians in all these scenes. And so I think, you know, the more bridges we can build, it's the 21st century. Everybody has the internet. So like nobody just listens to one style of music anymore. It's not like the 80s where you had metalheads and you had punks. Because the thing is, like, your fucking money went into the records you bought. Like, you had to choose what scene you're part of because you have to choose, like, what music you have access to. And that's not a thing anymore. People can be, like, in five scenes at once because people listen to some kind of music sometimes when they're feeling a certain way. They want to listen to, like, death metal, and then other times they want to listen to Kendrick Lamar. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's the reality of, like, a person these days. And, like, people don't vote for this, like, you know, bands aren't politicians or, like, football teams. Like, you don't have any loyalty to just one.
Exactly.
Like, everybody likes music, and they like lots of different musicians. And so I think the more that you can just be like, you know, music's music and bridge those gaps, the better.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. Multiple genre shows. Let's do this.
Well, that's what I'm about, yeah.
Yeah, for all kinds of people. And, you know, obviously everyone just needs to kind of open up and take a little half step outside of their comfort zone. I think it makes you a better music listener if you listen to something that you're not as familiar with. So if you're just thinking about your own, you know, listening pleasure.
It might even open up your mind politically or socially to, like, listen to different, like, a different genre of music can, like, just like reading like literature in a different language. I mean,
I mean this is why I love social media, because it's almost inescapable. If you're part of it, you're just like, you can't help but be exposed to so much different shit. And that's why I love it. And
I would disagree with you a little bit on social media. I think social media is programmed to not give you a diversity of opinion.
Because right now, the algorithms are... the algorithms and the way it's going
then
right
you
now,
have friends.
It's based around alienating you. Although they just did a study and they found that like right-wing leaning people are much more likely to fall into a trap of like self-reinforcing media than everybody else.
Well, because I mean, not to get too political, but their ideas are only based on feelings.
They just did a study, and that was like the result. So
I mean,
that's probably nobody in Portland or this.
Yeah,
room.
I will say,
David, to your point, I think
unless you guys are all libertarians, then we're gonna storm out of here.
Nah,
I will actually.
Pretty, pretty,
you guys try to give us Atlas Shrugged when we leave, and I'm not gonna be happy.
You know, I read that book when I was in high school.
The Fountainhead. I got that.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I've read some of mine. Right, it doesn't. It's like a fantasy world.
Exactly, it's a fantasy world.
Thinks is a real place. But David, what you were saying about you make friends, but it all really comes down to your choice. And that's why I'm saying if you're a listener of music, then be proactive. If you're a consumer of music, if nothing else, be proactive about the way you kind of reach out. And if you start there, maybe you do choose friends that come from a lot of different walks of life. I think a lot of people choose friends that are very similar to them, to their own detriment. But maybe music is the most widest open gateway to some kind of diversity because people are... You know, both susceptible and open to it.
Yeah,
you know,
and while you're at it and you're using the internet, fucking use it the right way. If you see something you like, click on it. If you're interested in a show, fucking click on it. Help everybody out. Come on.
Yeah, buy
subscribe to their show,
Here's
you guys.
Here's what your grandma sees. Say fuck on Facebook.
So, yeah, no, I think...
I don't think my girlfriend.
I find
Facebook
people being very, very accommodating and very like accepting
to be grandparents.
Of their differences when it comes to music. I was like,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like some people say, like, yeah, I really like country and rap and like rock and roll. It's like that's probably like I disagree on the country part, but still, like we can agree that this shit over here, these two other genres
Listen,
are
I'm
really
a little
good.
Bit country, I'm a little bit rock and roll.
Exactly.
But what I'm saying is, like,
Latino,
people.
I'm a little bit Latino, I'm a little bit, you know.
People,
a little bit hip hop.
Yeah.
People are just, like, more accepting of their differences.
A little bit cumbia.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm glad that we are all doing our part to create diversity in
our
least,
parents'
at
music
least
habits.
This garage. I can't speak for outside this garage, but I can speak for this one.
I had no idea this was a garage.
It's a very nice garage.
Yeah, I know.
Damn.
Yeah. It is.
Well, Tall Women, thank you guys so much. We could talk to you for probably 3 more hours. Obviously, there's a lot.
Thank you so much for having us.
It was great to have you guys. So Tall Women, all one word.
Mm-hmm.
At Facebook is the best
word.
Way to
that's the
find
trick
what
is
you're up to.
The trick is searching one word.
Yeah,
is because
true.
Like if you type 2 words, then we're un-Googleable.
Yeah, then it's Nicole Google-able. Kidman.
It's Nicole Kidman,
from what
which is
yeah,
also
basically.
Equally fine. Depends on what you're looking for.
Yeah, not a bad digression on Google,
it's
but not what you're looking for. Because what you want is Tall Women, all one word.
Oh, that's a birthday party.
And you can find us at like facebook.com/tallwomenmusic, I believe.
And you can find both your EPs on Bandcamp.
Yep.
True. Tall Women.
Bandcamp's the best way to find that stuff.
We're also planning a tour in like mid to late November.
Yeah.
Awesome. Very busy and very worth everybody's time. So,
and we're going to record some new songs too.
New songs,
keep
tours,
you occupied.
17 shows here in Portland and
go.
Facebook. That, those are the takeaways.
Yeah.
And well worth everybody's time. But thank you guys again. We really appreciate you
thank
being
you
here.
Thank you for your patience.
Great
for
having
us.
No, it was a blast.
Thanks for dealing with us.
Oh, no, anytime. We'll have you back. And thank all of you for listening to this episode of Hot Garbage. Andy, Nate, and I really appreciate it.
It's good to have you back, Drew.
Yeah, it's good to be back. I felt a little bit rusty after my hiatus, but I'm back in the saddle.
That's good.
And glad to connect with our listeners once
again. And a big
again.
High five to any listeners who've made it this far.
Oh no, this is a breeze.
Hey,
if you have made it this far,
a 5-hour edition.
I know that people listen to this. Give us a review.
Yeah.
Go on iTunes and give us a review saying, I heard that shit.
Yeah.
Or something along those lines.
All I have to say is I heard that shit plus 5 stars.
Yeah.
Add that shit up.
I heard that shit.
Also, you can reach out to Andy, Nate, and I directly by emailing us at hotgarbagepodcast@gmail.com. That's HAUTE garbagepodcast@gmail.com. You can find episodes like this every Thursday on iTunes.
Every Thursday, except for last Thursday. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know.
You'll get yours.
I mean,
that doesn't make any sense with time travel and editing. So never mind. Right.
Andy, why don't you take us home?
No, this week I'm going to give my last song.
Oh, that's right. David's taking us
home. David right here.
Oh, what did I do?
David, you're playing a jam from former guest of the show. We're huge fans of Karma Rivera.
Right.
And she's doing fantastic things here in Portland. Check out her episode of Hot Garbage while you're poking around. But also check her out live. She plays a ton here. And you wanted to take us out on one of her tracks.
This one's called Tacos and Tequila. This one was a fucking banger.
For Tall Women, for Nate, for Andy, this is Drew. We'll see you next week on Hot Garbage.
But you gon' leave here with me. You might just end up in love, but nothing is all it could be. If you ever need for a plug, I'll take you to where it all be. If you're down and doing some drugs, then baby, you should fuck with me. Start with shots of tequila. Bomb rips with a bomb, I'm a cedar. Yeah, MCM tryna hit me for a feature. I guess they know I'm a creative fucking creature. Bitch, I been hot like a full-blown fever. I won't cool down till I know I'm underneath ya. He telling me he's single, but I know he a cheater. I'm still gon' break him like I'm breaking down sativa. Since I been single, it's been no rules. Then I record every story on the Pro Tools. Yeah, I turn these niggas into content. Then I clam on my conscience. Hibernate in the fall. I'm too fucking fly to be a fly on the wall. I'm too damn perfect when it comes to being flawed. Call me what you want, but you can't call me a fraud.
Que de nuevo te acercas, Navidad, que de nuevo te irás. Navidad, tú que sabes la pena de mi alma que es buena, que sabe esperar.
You may have came here with her, but you gon' leave here with me. You might just end up in love, but nothing is all it could be. If you ever need for a plug, I'll take you to where it all be. If you're down and doing some drugs, then baby, you should fuck with me. He said, Karma, you too cute to be the hood type. I'm like, really, what the hell does that look like? Cause I stay in the city and I dress like the lawyer from The Good Wife. Still live a hood life. Ain't shit changed to the misunderstood type. Everybody wanna fuck with you on a good night. Yeah, this happy hour with the bars, though. Cause the overdraft fee with Wells Fargo. That's a fee I pay later with the next check. Can't play victim, I'm the number one suspect. These hoes mad, cause I won. And that's what you call a motherfucking upset. Tell a hoe to beat it like Ted on a drum set. Knocking out verses from Don until sunset, yeah, and I'm still vibing. On top, only time I'm dick rock.
Que de nuevo te acercas, Navidad, que de nuevo te irás. Navidad, tú que sabes la pena de mi alma que es buena, que sabe esperar. Navidad.
You may have came here with her, but you gon' leave here with me. You might just end up in love, but nothing is all it could be. If you ever need for a plug, I'll take you to where it all be. If you're down and doing some drugs, then baby, you should fuck with me.
Que de nuevo te acercas, Navidad, que de nuevo te irás. Navidad, tú que sabes la pena de mi alma que es buena, que sabe esperar. Navidad.